I'll call this meeting to order of the State Government Finance and Elections Committee for February 22nd, 2022, or as parlance 2-22-22. Legislative Assistant will call the roll.
Thank you. Chair Nelson.
Here.
Nelson is present. Vice Chair Carlson.
Carlson's present.
Carlson is present. Representative Nash.
Nash present.
Nash is present. Representative Bonner.
Present.
Bonner is present. Representative Juskowski.
Present.
Juskowski is present. Representative Elkins.
Elkins present.
Elkins is present. Representative Friedman.
Present.
Friedman is present. Representative Claiborne.
Claiborne present.
Claiborne is present. Representative Kosnick.
Present.
Kosnick is present. Representative Mason.
Mason present.
Mason is present. Representative Representative New Brindley.
Present.
New Brindley is present. Representative Pawlowski. Pawlowski is excused. Representative Flom.
Present.
Flom is present. With that, Chair, we have a quorum.
And I'd like to note that Representative Pawlowski is excused for today's meeting, so it's on the record. And Representative Mason, you were asking about the minutes. Said you were excused. I'm looking at the minutes. I've got a note here from that you missed a couple of votes that is that correct or not correct, Representative Mason?
I thought I was there.
Well, you were there, but it shows that
Chair Nelson, Representative Mason, as my recollection is, she did miss the first vote.
We'll double check that, and we'll get back. We'll do the minutes on tomorrow's or Thursday's meeting. So, okay. With that, members, our first bill on the agenda for today is House File 3346, Representative Lilly. And I'll move House File 3346 to be referred to the General Register. And Representative Lilly, if you want to explain your bill.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and members. Thank you, Chair Nelson, for moving the bill. House File 3346 is essentially the work of the Subcommittee Employee Relations. Which Representative Carlson is a member, your vice chair, and we met during the summer, and we ratified the contracts that were negotiated between MMB and a lot of our star employees for the state of Minnesota. So it's essentially the bill. Today with me, I have a couple folks that are going to go through it, but it's no secret, with what we're seeing out there on the news every day, with the employment of workers in the state of Minnesota and job retention. And this bill seems to do a good job of capturing that and hoping to keep a lot of our state employees. There's at the tail end, and they'll get into it as a lot of these meetings of understanding, and a lot of that's to try to work with retention and other stuff like that. But this morning I have with me Ms. Weber, and she's in charge of a subcommittee employee relations, and she can kind of go through the bill in detail. And please listen. It's this is part of our team, and Minnesota is, I'm really proud of the work that we've done in the last year, and a lot of that's because of the star employees that we have, and these contracts are so important, and make sure our team is happy at work. But if I could pass, Mr. Chair, to if that's okay, to Ms. Weber, and have her go through, and then we have someone from MMB that can go in greater detail, and then I'm hoping Ms. Weber can kind of cover, because yesterday I was asked, I think we have a couple contracts that are still outstanding, and hopefully they can catch up to these or go a separate route. But thank you for your time this morning, Mr. Chair and members.
Thank you, Representative Lilly. First testifier I have on my list is Michelle Weber. Welcome to the committee, and please identify yourself for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Thank you, Chair Nelson and members. I'm Michelle Weber with the Legislative Coordinating Commission, and our office provides staff support to the Subcommittee on Employee Relations. Included with your meeting materials is a summary of the bill, as well as the contracts, plan, and memorandums of understanding that are ratified by the bill. With the exception of the Minnesota Law Enforcement Association, which is also referred to as MLEA, a contract, the contracts and plan that are included in this bill are for the fiscal year 22-23 biennium and are effective retroactive to July 1st, 2021. The MLEA contract is for fiscal year 2020 and 21 and is effective retroactive to July 1st, 2019. That agreement includes a 2.25% across the board increase for fiscal year 20 and a 2.5% across the board increase for fiscal year 21. It also includes step increases in the contract that average 4%, and approximately 37% of the employees not at the top of their salary range are eligible for those increases. The MLEA contract also incorporates some legislative changes that were passed during the 2021 special session, which included an 8.45% increase in salaries for all employees effective October 22, 2022, and a 10.45% salary increase for employees at the top of their salary range. The fiscal year 22 and 23 contracts that have been negotiated through MMB cover approximately 35,900 employees and include AFSCME, MAPE, the Middle Management Association, the State Residential Schools Education Association, and the Minnesota Nurses Association. The contracts generally provide a 2.5% increase in salaries effective both on July 1st, 2021 and 2.5% on July 1st, 2022. The annual merit-based increases range between 2.6% and 4% across the contracts, and on average, about half of the covered employees are eligible for those increases. They also add Juneteenth as a paid holiday. The insurance benefits included in the contracts include health, dental, and disability benefits, and those benefits are initially bargained by MMB through a coalition that includes representatives from all the unions. The final bargaining occurs with AFSCME and MAPE, and provisions are generally consistent across the contracts. The legislature also participates in CGIP, the CGIP program from which the insurance benefits are generated, and that is both available to members and staff at the legislature. There's no changes to the underlying medical plan design. The insurance benefits typically follow the calendar year, and medical premiums are estimated to increase by approximately 3%. In calendar year 22. There are two contracts in the bill that impact faculty and administrators at Minnesota State. The interfaculty organization covers 3,126 full-time equivalents at state universities. That agreement does include no salary increase for fiscal year 22, and in fiscal year 23, there is a 1.7% across the board increase and a 2.4% step increase for returning faculty. The contract for the Minnesota State University Association of Administrative and Service Facility faculty covers 772 FTEs. The agreement includes a 3.05 step increase for members not at the top of their range on July 1st, 2021, a 3% lump sum payment to members at the top of the range in lieu of step movement, and a 1.3% across the board effective July 1st, 2022. Also in the bill is a plan for the Minnesota State Colleges and Universities. It's the personnel plan for administrators, and it covers 570 full-time equivalents of unrepresented managers. The contract includes a 2.0% merit increase effective July 1st and 2021 and also on July 1st, 2022, as well as a 2.5% salary increase in the ranges for administrators, the chancellor, and the presidents each year. Those range increases in the plan do not result in an increased salary for any administrators. Attached also to the summary is the settlement sheet that shows the estimated cost of each of the agreements by Minnesota Management and Budget and Minnesota State. The estimates indicate that the increased costs of all of these agreements included within the bill currently before you today will be 4.5% in this biennium, with an impact of 7.15% on the next biennium. Section 2 of the bill ratifies memorandums of understanding between MMB and several of the bargaining units. Those memorandums of understanding provide incentives for employees to work additional shifts at 24/7 operations, financial incentives for referral, recruitment, and retention for hard-to-fill positions, and also permit employees to use sick leave to care for minor children who are required to quarantine. Mr. Chair and members, that concludes my overview of the bill as well as the contracts, and I'm happy to answer any questions. And as Representative Lilly indicated, MMB and Minnesota State are also available today.
And the next person I have on my, thank you, Ms. Weber. The next person I have on my list is Commissioner Showalter. Welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record and proceed. Or are you here just to answer questions?
I'm here. I got just a brief set of comments, Mr. Chair.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members, for the record, my name is Jim Showalter, Commissioner of Minnesota Management and Budget, and I appreciate the chance to just give you a brief overview of these contracts and particularly how we got here. Because under law, our department is charged with negotiating contracts with the majority of bargaining units representing state employees. And as chief labor negotiator for the state of Minnesota, I can report that these contracts were negotiated in good faith, that they're reasonable, fair, and you know that ultimately the compensation increases included in these contracts are comparable to what you find in other public entities in the area and are actually currently below some of the private sector increases that we're seeing right now. As we seek to provide high quality public services, we must be able to recruit and retain a qualified workforce in an increasingly tight labor market. And we believe that these contracts are an essential tool to accomplish that goal. So I recommend that you review and approve these contracts because over the past year and a half, state workers have been impacted by the effects of the global pandemic. As you know, or hopefully you know, more than 500 state workers were redeployed across state agencies, and more than 1,000 state workers were reassigned to different jobs within their own agency, all to ensure that we are meeting the needs of Minnesotans during the COVID-19 pandemic. It's really critical to continue to recognize that effort and to also make sure that we continue to attract and retain engaged, successful employees as we have in the past. State employees have shown just remarkable flexibility and dedication during these extremely difficult times. And it's really been important for us to deliver needed services to Minnesotans. I also just want to step back and recognize that our public labor union partners have worked with management throughout this with creativity to navigate the challenges. Because you know, we're working within dense contracts and they've been great partners to help us facilitate a robust response on the part of state government. As the effects of COVID impacted state revenues, the effects of this year have caused both negative and positive swings in the state budget. And so as of any bargaining year, we ensured that at the time we were negotiating these and throughout, we've ensured that the contractual costs align with our responsibilities as stewards of taxpayer dollars. Since the last session, MMB has submitted 8 labor contracts and over 20 MOUs, Memorandums of Understandings, to the SER. We appreciate the work of Chair Lilly and all the members of the SER. These contracts are the result of our biennial bargaining process. And while the volume of MOUs is higher than normal, you know, we've been working really creatively with state agencies to try to find and address urgent labor needs and emerging issues. COVID has created unexpected situations, and we've been trying to address those by working through changes in these contracts with the MOUs and changes in address our labor market. Quick note on budget information. MMB has also provided you information on data and analysis that demonstrate the value of the contracts that we submitted. Budgeting for employee compensation costs, I just got to say, is a complicated process. As the data shows, the contracts are manageable within the agency's 2021 budget appropriations. The agency's budget committees consider unique budgetary circumstances facing each agency when considering and setting their appropriations. And that's really the limit. That's what agencies need to work within. As reflected in the agency reports, agencies will manage the cost of the contracts within those appropriations. We also provided data on the compensation costs projected for all funds because many employees across the executive branch are paid from non-general fund appropriations. Agencies will manage the increase in the compensation costs in these other funds through appropriation increases provided in the 21 legislative session, increases in federal awards, or from other available resources. So in summary, Mr. Chair, we've provided information demonstrating the affordability of these labor agreements. These agreements before you are fair agreements that will help enable our state to retain a talented workforce and serve all Minnesotans. We believe these agreements deserve approval. We believe that agencies can afford the compensation costs within their budgets appropriated by the legislature, and we ask for your approval on these labor agreements. Your approval really tells an important story and sends an important message to state employees that the critical work that they do on behalf of fellow Minnesotans is valued. Thank you, Mr. Chair, members, for your time and consideration. With me is Deputy Commissioner Kristen Batson and State Labor Negotiator Jen Klossman. Happy to stand for questions.
Thank you, Representative Showalter. And I have a list of people here to answer questions. Members, are there any questions of the testifiers or of the author of the bill? Representative New Brindley.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Representative Lilly. Certainly, these seem like fair contracts. My question is, do you foresee any supplemental requests coming forward?
Who would you like that directed to, Representative
Lilly? I know that he works on this.
Okay, Representative Lilly.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative New Brindley. Good morning. Thank you. I think to my understanding, there's a couple contracts that are still outstanding. So that's additional requests. So that's first off. And then I think the commissioner and the other testifiers has kind of mentioned that these memorandums of understanding are still, they're still negotiating and trying to help, to be a little nimble to meet the current needs of the marketplace. So I think the commissioner and Ms. Weber kind of captured that. And so there's still, possibly could be additional changes down the pike, and certainly those two additional contracts. Historically, we tried to catch those up, if they come to settlement, but maybe they won't be. But it's kind of is that a good enough answer at this point?
Representative Brindley, does that answer your question?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I guess I would just ask a clarifying question. When you say more changes, once we pass this language will not be changed. These negotiations would not be changed. It would just be additional requests moving forward, correct?
Representative Lilly.
Mr. Chair and Representative, that is correct.
Thank you.
Representative Brindley.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Representative Lilly, and thank you to our state employees who are doing good work.
Representative Claiborne, you have a question.
And thank you, Mr. Chair, and really it's not a question per se. It's just a debt of gratitude and thankfulness both to the commissioner and to Representative Lilly and all of the individuals. Commissioner Showalter said earlier, getting to yes on these contracts and meeting the needs of our state is a very complicated process, and it takes many, many hours to get alignment and agreement on these contracts. So I just want to say thank you. And we saw during this pandemic just exactly how much work our state employees did, and I just want to say thank you, publicly say thank you.
Thank you, Representative Claiborne. Representative Elkins.
Yes. First of all, what Representative Claiborne said very eloquently. but my ears perked up when it was mentioned that someone from the Minnesota State Colleges and Universities was going to be present to take questions, and I have one. I had an outreach from a nursing professor at Normandale College indicating that they're professional organization, not their union, had written something up saying it's become very difficult to recruit nurses to go into teaching because under the current pay scale, Men's pay scale, the wages that a nursing teacher is far less than a practicing nurse. And I would guess that this probably also extends to people who are teaching in STEM professions as well. And just wondering, if there's anything that the administration and the unions could do to address that issue.
I have a Mr. Dale from the Minnesota State. If you want to identify yourself for the record, then answer the question.
Mr. Chair, my name is Christopher Dale. I'm the Senior System Director for Labor Relations for Minnesota State Colleges and Universities. Mr. Chair and members, the Normandale Colleges, the faculty at Normandale College are represented by Minnesota State College faculty. That contract is not before you or part of this bill at this point and still in negotiation. And the short answer is yes, there are things that can be done. Parties would have to agree to do them to provide some market stress relief in those areas. The college faculty have what I guess you would call a strong egalitarian basis, a principle that they operate from, and the salary setting that occurs with college faculty is not driven by market, the markets they're in. So it's not discipline specific. It's based on education and experience. And it may be that some sort of relief in those market areas that are particularly hit by the stresses in the nursing profession is possible. But that would have to be worked out between the parties and through the negotiation process.
Understood. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Thank you, Mr. Dale. Thank you, Representative Elkins. Any further questions of the testifiers or the author? If not, Representative Lilly, you can wrap up your wrap up.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, members, for your time this morning. I just think it's really, it's really neat. I thought, that you're hearing it in the good conversation and the comments by Representative Neuer, that captured really, and Representative Cleborne, with how vital our state workers are. And, the people at MMB work, it was really clear from the commissioner that they worked with the workers, of the state, and they're our team, and Minnesota is just known to have things are really going well. And then I was glad it was mentioned how many folks with COVID were moved around. I mean, think about that. You kind of think you're gonna have a normal, regular job, and then all of a sudden you've got this curveball and you're doing something different. And and just hats off to everybody that was adaptive and open to that. But, we're in a position, I imagine the contracts, might be different now. I mean, I don't think any of us, a while ago figured that we'd have the surplus that we do. And, the contracts, probably would have been higher if we'd have known we'd have the surplus. But I know this was negotiated in good faith. And again, thank you, members, for your time, Chair Nelson. Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Weber, for your work, and Mr. Commissioner Showalter and your team, and certainly thank you to our state workers for what they do to make Minnesota better. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Lilly. And members, with that, before I renew my motion, I want to also say that, yes, we have great workers that work for our state, and they put a large effort into making sure the state runs efficiently. And especially this last 2 years with the pandemic that we've had, they've stepped up and done the hard work to keep the state running that like it needed to do. So with that, members, I'll renew my motion that House File 3346 be referred to the General Register. Mr. Brinks, can you take the roll?
Thank you. Chair Nelson.
Aye.
Nelson votes aye. Vice Chair Carlson.
Carlson, aye.
Carlson votes aye. Representative Nash.
Aye.
Nash votes aye. Representative Bonner.
Aye.
Bonner votes aye. Representative Jaskowski.
Aye.
Jaskowski votes aye. Representative Elkins.
Elkins aye.
Elkins votes aye. Representative Friedman.
Aye.
Friedman votes aye. Representative Cleborne.
Cleavorn, aye.
Cleavorn, aye.
Cleavorn votes aye. Representative Kosnick.
Kosnick, aye.
Kosnick votes aye. Representative Mason.
Mason, aye.
Mason votes aye. Representative New Brindley.
Aye.
New Brindley votes aye. Representative Pulaski excused. Representative Plum.
Aye.
Plum votes aye. Chair, with that of 12 ayes and one excuse, the motion prevails.
The motion prevails. The bill's on its way to the General Register. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members.
Thank you, Representative Lilly. The next bill is I will be moving, handing the gavel over to represent or the Vice Chair Carlson. The next bill is a crazy offer, Representative Nelson M. And Representative Carlson.
All right. Thank you, Chair Nelson. Would you like to move your bill?
I'll move House File 3093 to be referred to the General Register. And to confuse me more this morning, I have an A22 amendment that both the bills, there's an A22 amendment. But
okay.
Members, I'll move the A22 amendment to get the bill in the way that it needs to be done going forward.
Okay. Chair Nelson moves the A22 amendment. Chair Nelson, if you would like to, how about let's do this. Since that's an author's amendment, maybe just briefly describe the amendment before we take a vote on it.
Members, it's mostly a technical amendment that with language, and I think I'll have the Ms. Rattan explain the bill, but it's just a technical amendment. In one case, it's adding Minnesota to a line that where they missed it in the bill, and so it's basically just a technical amendment to clean up some mistakes that were in the bill when it was first drafted.
Okay, so this just gets it in the form that you would like.
Yes.
Okay, members, all those in favor of the A20. I'm sorry, Representative Brindley, please proceed with your question.
Thank you, Representative Nelson. And I just want to make clear, I've got the language pulled up, and I'm just wondering if there are any other changes that we should be aware of. Like you said, adding Minnesota is obviously not a big deal. Are there any changes in the amendment that actually would change the meaning of anything? I understand that it might just change dates, or like you said, adding the word Minnesota is not a big deal to me, but is there anything that might change any meaning?
Chair Nelson, any other highlights you want to mention?
I think I'll call it Ms. Rattan. It's the bill for the, again, this is administration's bill, so I'll let Ms. Rattan explain the changes, and then she can explain the bill afterwards.
Okay. Yes. Ms. Rattan, please, any comments to the A22 amendment?
Mr. Chair and members, this is really just moving the effective date. After some conversations with the Minnesota Housing Finance Agency, we agreed that delaying a year in order to make sure all parties involved in these revenue collections know that the function moves from MMB to the Housing Finance Agency would be prudent. So it's delaying the effective date by a year.
Okay. Representative New Brindley.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you,
okay. Members, if you could please unmute yourself. All those in favor of the A22 amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, say no. The A22 amendment is adopted. Chair Nelson, to your bill.
Like I said, I'll have Mr. Rattan and the sure. people from MMB explain the bill.
Okay, back to you.
Certainly. Mr. Chair, again, my name is Britta Rattan. I'm with MMB. And this bill is really mostly technical in nature. There are two revenue collection functions that MMB currently in law does on behalf of the Minnesota Housing Finance Agency. And what this bill is doing is really just aligning the collection of those resources with the administration of the program, which is funded by those resources. And that program happens at the Minnesota Housing Finance Agency. So this is a rather unusual function that at some point in time, MMB was asked to do in law, but in partnership with the Housing Finance Agency, we've determined it makes more sense for MHFA to do those collections and move that function from MMB over to MHFA.
Okay. I see our other testifiers are as needed, so I will go to member questions. Representative Nash, you've got your hand up.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and to the testifier or to the author. Is there in this any additional administrative fees that will be peeled off the top in order to make this happen by changing it from one agency to the next?
Mr. Tan, I see you shaking your head no. Would you like to respond to that question?
I will. Thank you, Mr. Chair. No, there are no administrative fees that change as a result of this. And MMB was not collecting any administrative fee associated with providing this function.
Representative Nash.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay.
And Mr. Chair, on my list, it shows that we have two other testifiers, one from the MHFA and one from the manufacturer Mobile Homes, Mr. Baumtrog and Mr. Bruner.
I believe that is on the next bill, Chair Nelson. You're getting us one step ahead of us.
Are we doing, I thought we were doing 3097 or which bill did I move, I guess, is the question.
Well, I'm of the assumption you moved House File 3087.
Oh.
Oh, no. Okay.
I did it backwards, the ones on the agenda, but yes.
Yes, because that has the amendments. Yes. See? Things got switched around on me there. Yes, this is, for the record, this is House File 3097, where we did adopt the amendments A22. And you're right, we do have additional testifiers.
Is this 3097 or 3093?
3093.
Thank you. That's what I thought I moved, and that's...
Yeah. Everybody following? Clear as mud, everybody? All right. We'll keep rolling here.
Sorry about that.
Chair
Carlson.
All right. Well, Chair Nelson, thanks for the clarification. All right. So we do have additional testifiers. Things keep moving around here. All right. Any further questions for Ms. Rattan? Representative Nash, do you have your hand up?
No, I just didn't lower it.
Okay, fair enough. Representative New Brindley.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Mr. Tan. My question is just similar to Representative Nash, it's just slightly different. Is there a fiscal note? Will there be any savings for MMB or any cost to the Minnesota Finance Agency?
Ms. Rattan.
Representative New Brindley, there will be a fiscal note. We will not be reflecting operational savings. It is a small fraction of an FTE that works on this currently, so there really isn't measurable savings associated with moving the function. It's just moving it to the agency that has more expertise in this space and has the relationships.
Representative New Brindley.
Similarly, I assume there will be no increased cost then for the Minnesota Finance Agency.
Ms. Rattan.
Muted.
I'm muted. Sorry. Representative New Brindley, my understanding is that's correct, but I think MHFA could probably speak to that. But yes, I think that's correct.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay. With that, let's get to our testifiers who do wish to testify today. Next on my list, I have Mr. Ryan Brumtrog from MHFA. Ryan, if you want to proceed with your testimony.
Good morning, Chair Carlson, members of the committee. My name is Ryan Baumtrog. I'm Assistant Commissioner for Policy and Community Development at Minnesota Housing Finance Agency. I don't have any written remarks, but just wanted to make myself available to the committee should there be any questions about the programs that are administered with the revenues that are collected. So happy to answer any questions as it relates to the Housing Trust Fund or the Manufactured Housing Relocation Trust Fund. And thanks for your time today.
Thanks, Ryan. Appreciate it. Next, I have Mark Brunner from Manufacturing and Module Homes Associations of Minnesota.
Hello.
Hey, Mark.
Hello. Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Mark Brunner. I'm with the Manufactured Modular Home Association of Minnesota. The MMHA speaks for the nearly 1,000 privately owned manufactured home communities in the state, comprising about 50,000 home sites, along with the plants that build nearly 2,000 factory-built homes annually. It's the manufactured home community owners who were impacted by the bill. As my comment letter points out, we support the bill and believe it's a logical progression of previous administrative changes in having Minnesota Housing assume overall management of the fund. The amendment that was adopted addresses our concern about having enough time to transfer data and records ahead of the next billing cycle. But as a point of clarification, while we support the bill, in working with the advocates during previous sessions on how to best collect the annual fee, there has been a consensus that it would be better accomplished by removing the landlord or the community owner as the collection agency for the state and instead have the $15 fee placed on the personal property tax statement of each homeowner, since qualifying to receive a payment under the fund requires that the personal property taxes be paid. I understand this is not part of the bill, but it does remain another goal for us in another session. And that concludes my remarks. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Bruner. I appreciate the clarification of what's in the bill and what still is not. Representative Nash, question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and for Ms. Raton, if I could.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Ms. Raton.
So I heard, Ms. Raton, that you said that there would be a fiscal cost, but that you would absorb it, and that you have an FTE who will be doing the work. I'm just confused. I think some of my colleagues were as well, as to how the mechanics of that work. If you could maybe go into that, and maybe one day we could find out how many FTEs have capacity to take on new work, so we don't have to maybe get new FTEs in the future. Thank you.
Ms. Raton.
Representative Nash, I'm sorry if that wasn't clear. It's kind of the inverse of that. We currently have an FTE in our administrative unit who has taken the administration of this collection on as an extra activity that she would then no longer have to do. But this is a person that serves a really critical administrative function across the agency, so we wouldn't actually be reducing an FTE since it's just a small portion of her time spent on this administrative function.
Representative Nash, any follow-up?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, Ms. Raton, that actually was sort of the question is, and I've had this in committee before where I'm told, oh, well, we have an FTE that can take this on as just a smidgen of their day, and it'll be just fine. So I guess I'm always curious as to how that works. You know, is it like Jell-O? There's always room for Jell-O in the employee land, that you've got extra capacity for people here and there. I'm just curious because, you know, when we sometimes grow the employee ranks, we hear, well, this will require one FTE, or this will require six FTEs. And then we hear testimony later on that, well, one of these FTEs has a little bit of room that we can have them slip this into the radar. So I guess I'm just confused sometimes on that level, and perhaps that's a conversation for an office visit. But I really do want to know, if we can get to it, how many FTEs are at full capacity with their work, and how much room for Jell-O is there in the ranks of the employees?
So, Representative Nash, I don't know if there's a question there, but Ms. Raton, I think, has a response. Please proceed.
Representative Nash, I would highlight at MMB we have many employees that are exempt and currently put in more than 40 hours a week. And so reducing a small portion of time from the employees that administer this program does not reduce their work below 40 hours a week, so we would not reduce FTEs as a result.
Okay, other member questions regarding House File 3093? I'm seeing none. Closing remarks, Chair Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thanks to the administration. Again, this is a bill that they brought forward to clean up and to move things to where it's more appropriate for them to be done. And with that, members, I ask for your support.
Okay, Chair Nelson.
And I'll renew my motion that House File 3093 as amended be referred to the general register.
Okay, Chair Nelson renews his motion to refer House File 3093 as amended to the general register. If the clerk will please take the roll.
Thank you. Chair Nelson.
Aye.
Nelson votes aye. Vice Chair Carlson.
Carlson aye.
Carlson votes aye. Representative Nash.
Nash votes aye.
Nash votes aye. Representative Bonner.
Aye.
Bonner votes aye. Representative Joskowski.
Aye.
Joskowski votes aye. Representative Elkins.
Elkins aye.
Elkins votes aye. Representative Greenman.
Aye.
Greenman votes aye. Representative Cleavorne.
Cleavorne aye.
Cleavorne votes aye. Representative Kosnick.
Aye.
Kosnick votes aye. Representative Mason.
Mason aye.
Mason votes aye. Representative New Brindley.
Aye.
New Brindley votes aye. Representative Pulaski is excused. Representative Quam.
Aye.
Quam votes aye. With that, Chair, a vote of 12 ayes and one excuse, the motion prevails.
The motion does prevail. With that, we can move on to our next bill, House File 3087. Chair Nelson, if you would like to move your bill.
I'll move House File 3087 be referred to the General Register. And members, there's also an A22 amendment on this one, which, like I was joking on the last one, there's some confusion. Both the bills had an A22 amendment. But I'll move the A22 amendment. And again, this is an MMB bill. I'll let them explain the bill and explain what the amendment does.
Okay. So just for the record here, two bills with an A22 amendment. Come on, right? I mean, I think I get a pass on the last one for getting the two confused. So for the A22 amendment, that's an author's amendment. Who is going to speak to the A22 amendment to give us some background on that?
I think Ms. Hassemer.
Ms. Hassemer. I'm looking for you on my screen. Ms. Hassemer, I don't see you, but if you can unmute and please provide a summary of the A22 amendment for us, please.
Sure. Thank you, Chair Carlson, and thank you to Chair Nelson for helping introduce this bill. The technical amendment, like the prior A22 amendment, just gets this bill in the form that we would like it to be in. Primarily, it strikes some language that had been missed on the original draft. It clarifies that the legislation only applies to the state and no other unit of government, and makes a change that state bonds cannot be used as collateral for state funds, which I'll go into the broader description in just a minute, but only bonds of other states or local units of government. And finally, it allows state collateral to be deposited into a safeguard account instead of at MMB.
And Mr. Chair, can she identify herself for the tape also?
Oh, Ms. Hassemer, if you would please identify yourself for the record.
Thank you, Chair Carlson. Apologies for forgetting that. My name is Jennifer Hassemer. I'm Assistant Commissioner at Minnesota Management and Budget.
Wonderful. Thank you. Representative New Brindley, I see you got your hand up.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And thank you, Mr. Chair. And Ms. Hassemer, can you talk for just a moment about lines 1.13 to 1.7 about depositing the collateral placed in safekeeping in a restricted account versus depositing with MMB? Can you just explain to us sort of why that change is necessary? And what standard practices now, or what standard practices in other states? This is something I suspect most of us don't deal with all the time, and so I'm wondering if we could just get a little background on that.
Ms. Hassemer.
Sure. Thank you, Chair Carlson and Representative Brindley. That language does conform with standard practice that most other states use. It is very common for collateral funds to be placed in a safeguard account, either with the Federal Reserve Bank or another commercial trust department. And those funds will be under agreement as belonging to the or pledged to the state still.
Representative New Brindley.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Ms. Hassemer.
Okay. Any further questions on the A22 amendments? Seeing none, members, if you could please unmute yourself. And then all those in favor of the A22 amendment, say aye.
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 Those opposed say no. The A22 amendment is adopted. Chair Nelson, to your bill.
Again, this is very technical bill, and I will let Ms. Hassemer explain it. And there's also Ms. Farrell here as another assistant that maybe can answer questions on the bill.
Okay, Ms. Hassemer, back to you.
Thank you again, Chair Carlson. So House File 3087 deals with acceptable forms of collateral used to secure state funds and would modernize the list of collateral that the state can accept. As background, collateral represents protection for the state's funds in the event of a bank failure. And if that were to ever happen, the state will need to obtain its funds quickly. Under current law, the state can only accept bonds as collateral from its banking partners. However, under separate state law, local units of government have a wider menu of options available to them as acceptable collateral. The proposed language before you would extend the same menu of options available to local governments to the state. This list of options includes U.S. Treasury issues, issues of U.S. government agencies and instrumentalities, obligations of state and local governments other than the state of Minnesota, time deposits like certificates of deposit, and finally, irrevocable standby letters of credit issued by federal home loan banks. These letters of credit function like insurance and can be less expensive for the banks and the state to administer. Since the value does not fluctuate for letters of credit with changing market conditions, there are no changes to report and track each month like there are with bonds. Having more options available to the state will increase the number of banks willing to compete for the state's business. And finally, one of the state's current banking partners highlighted the benefits of this policy change as it will help reduce confusion in the banking industry. With that, Chair Carlson, I would be happy to answer any other questions the committee may have.
Okay, thank you. Questions, members? Give you guys a second. I am seeing, Representative Mason, you have got your hand up.
Thank you. And this is, it's not a question about the actual changes, that I understand, but it is the last line in the bill about where the, about the fact about MMB paying the interest on the collateral. So, my question, if you can give me a little background on that particular action. And this is really a detailed bill, and I appreciate that, but I think it would be helpful maybe to have a little clarity about why the state is paying the interest.
Okay, thank Ms. you. Hassemer?
And Mr. Chair, that would be line 2.25 to 2.26 of the bill, and I believe that's current law, but Ms. Hassemer, I guess, can explain it more.
Chair Carlson and Representative Mason, since that was not in the proposed amendment, I'm reading it here in the background, we might need to get back to you on an answer to describe, how that works under current law. I know Assistant Commissioner Cindy Farrell is here too. If she has any detail on that, I will call on her. Otherwise, we can follow up with the committee afterwards.
Okay. Other.
Thank you.
Representative New Brindley.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and maybe this is to Ms. Hassemer as well. Well, actually, this probably would go to the bill author. Are we expecting a fiscal note on this bill as well, sort of for the same reason?
Chair Nelson?
I believe it was a great question, but I don't know if there'll be a fiscal cost, and maybe Ms. Hassemer can answer that question.
Ms. Hassemer.
Thank you, Chair Carlson. We are not expecting there to be any cost savings or increased costs associated with this bill. We view it as a policy change that would sort of conform to existing practices and ease the administrative work associated with maintaining state collateral.
Representative New Brindley, did you have a follow-up?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Although it sounds like if it's going to ease some of the work, that perhaps that should log some savings in a fiscal note. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Other member questions? Okay. I'm not seeing anybody else, Chair Nelson. So if you would like to proceed with any closing comments, and then to renew your motion, that would definitely be in order.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and members. Again, this is a technical bill brought to simplify and upgrade our statutes, and I look forward to the answer from Ms. Hassemer also for the question that Representative Mason had, so we can make sure we understand that going forward. But with that, members, again, this is just a technical bill to clean up some of our statutes. And with that, I'll renew my motion that House File 3087, as amended, be referred to the General Register.
All right. Chair Nelson renews his motion to refer House File 3087 as amended to the General Register. If the clerk would please take the roll.
Thank you. Chair Nelson.
Aye.
Nelson votes aye. Vice Chair Carlson.
Aye.
Carlson votes aye. Representative Nash.
Aye.
Nash votes aye. Representative Bonner.
Aye.
Bonner votes aye. Representative Drozdowski.
No.
Drozdowski votes nay. Representative Elkins.
Elkins aye.
Elkins votes aye. Representative Greenman.
Aye.
Greenman votes aye. Representative Cleburne.
Cleburne aye.
Cleburne votes aye. Representative Kosnick.
Aye.
Kosnick votes aye. Representative Mason.
Mason aye.
Mason votes aye. Representative New Brindley.
Aye.
New Brindley votes aye. Representative Pulaski is excused. Representative Plum.
Oh.
Plum votes nay. With that, Chair, a vote of 10 ayes, 2 nays, and 1 excuse, the motion prevails.
The motion does prevail and the bill is adopted. With that, I will turn the gavel back to Chair Nelson.
Thank you, Chair Carlson. Members, we've cleared up the confusion on the minutes. So does somebody want to move the minutes? Representative Mason, you want to move the minutes for February 17th?
I so move.
Representative Mason moves the minutes for February 17th, 2022. Members, if you want to unmute, we can bring up the or vote on it. All in favor of the approving the minutes, please say aye.
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 Opposed? The ayes have it. The minutes are approved. Members, our next meeting is this Thursday, February 24th. We have two campaign finance board appointees. We're going to vet and hopefully get approved. We also have three bills up. And so, members, and I see Representative Nash has his hand up. Representative Nash.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Looking ahead past Thursday to Friday, want to make sure that on the companion animal bill that we've left enough time for the amendments and testifiers, and that we're not going to be trying to rush through that, because that is a fairly complicated and somewhat controversial bill. So I just want to make sure that you've allotted enough time for us to dispense with my members being able to ask questions, offer amendments, and talk to the bill.
Representative Nash, it is my intention that we had plenty of testimony the other day, it's my intention, unless there's somebody that comes forward that desperately has to testify, that we will go take the bill back up and go to the amendments and questions of the author and move forward from there and hopefully get the bill moved out of our committee and on its path by the end of the meeting.
So, Mr. Chair.
Yes.
So it's your intention to take no further testimony, even though I've been told there are some other testifiers that would now, based on the activities of the other day, like to testify, considering that this was laid over until Friday?
Representative Nash, it was my intention to, but that I thought our testimony was done. We'll take those person by person, but like I said, I would like to get to the amendments and get move down from there and allow your members to have ask the questions that they have.
Thank you.
We can talk after. Any further questions? If not, members, it looks like we had a lighter day today. If there are no further questions or no other needed testimony, we are adjourned.